Foxhole Prayers. I'd like to have you take your Bibles tonight and open again to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want to be sure that we are able to devote some quality time tonight praying for some very specific families on this Memorial Day evening. The Lord's Day evening. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where we read this morning, there are just 3 points I'd like to make, and then I want to take you back a chapter. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. In verse 2, I point out to you again that there's a great problem in the form of a great multitude. Came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee." Great multitude. That's a problem. And in the next verse, 3, there's a good thing. There's a predisposition on the part of this king. He's inclined. The verse says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord." And I would take it that the use of the word feared has nothing whatever to do with the fear of God so much as it has to do with the news that he received in the previous verse. Fear is great fodder for foxhole prayers. But he feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And that word there, and again, I say a predisposition because it paints a picture of a path that is tread frequently. He set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He's calling on the people of Judah to do something that would be outside their comfort zone. And then it says, Judah gathered themselves together, as you have tonight, to ask help of the Lord, to ask help, literally to beg for help. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And I just point out to you the obvious in verse 4 that there is maximum participation. Maximum participation. And of course, that includes what we read there in verses 13. Verse 13 is that all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And of course, the foxhole prayer, as we pointed out to you this morning in verse 12, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." I want you to go back, please, to the 18th chapter. The same man is the object of our discussion in this place, beginning at verse 28. And the first thing I want to remind you of, that in this particular instance, this King Jehoshaphat is in a place aligned with somebody he should not be. He has no right whatever to expect blessing at all from the Lord. None. But he aligned himself with the wicked king Ahab. And there's a battle. The king of Israel, verse 29, said unto Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and will go to the battle but put thou on thy robes. And I think something's backwards there. I would have said to Ahab, you put on your robes, and how about I disguise myself? But no. Even with a disguise, Ahab will be found out. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went to the battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. Now in verse 31, we have a foxhole prayer. It came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, because he has the robes on, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. Look next what Jehoshaphat does. He cried out. Same word, to shriek out in anguish, as we see or saw in the previous chapter that we read in verse 9. He cried out, and it says here, the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. But please note this foxhole prayer, Jehoshaphat cried out. Remember, I've mentioned to you this morning that a foxhole prayer is a prayer of desperation. And it is a prayer that is oftentimes uttered whenever a survivor is around to tell about it. A mere desire, a desperate desire to survive. And someone has said, the last stream of hope. It is the last stream of hope when all hope is gone. And here it is, Jehoshaphat is encircled. He shrieks out in anguish. And God helped him. The Lord helped him and moved the enemy to depart. Interesting word, helped. It is the Hebrew word azar, and it carries this sense with it. It means to surround. To surround. And therefore protect. When it says the Lord helped him, he surrounded him. And may I just point out again that God was not here obligated to do anything for Jehoshaphat, because he was in a place doing something he shouldn't have been in the first place doing. When I look further at this word, help, azar, I'm led to another place in 1 Samuel chapter 7 that adds just a little bit of a blessing to our understanding of the Lord's help. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, if you would please turn there, we find the same word used in verse 12. 1 Samuel 7 and verse 12. How many of you have remember singing the hymn, I think it was in our old book, Here I Raise My Ebenezer, and without knowing what Ebenezer was? In 1 Samuel 7, verse 12, Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto the Lord hath helped us. Same word, help, as we find over there with Jehoshaphat. But in this particular sense, the word Ebenezer simply means a stone of help. A stone of help. So that when we look at what God did for Jehoshaphat, you might say he surrounded him with the rock. Surrounded him with the rock. How many times do we find in the Scriptures where Jehovah is like unto a rock? If you look at 2 Samuel 22 just for a moment. I'm going to call upon you tonight to raise an Ebenezer for some families and some other particular concerns that I will list for you. In 2 Samuel 22, 2 Samuel 22, verses 2 and 3. we read, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." And over in verse 47 of the same chapter, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation." The stone of help. Just want to clarify this, that whenever God's people pray, we need to rid ourselves once and for all of the notion that when God hears our prayers, that He, from a distance, manipulates circumstances to work out in our favor or not. But rather understand that when you cry out to God, as did Jehoshaphat and as did David, God Himself comes. The omnipresent God Himself comes to help. It is God who helped Jehoshaphat by encamping or encircling him. The rock Himself came and moved the people who had encircled that king away from him. His foxhole prayer was answered. His was answered. I would like to take this opportunity on the eve of our Memorial Day to have you take a piece of paper and a pencil. A piece of paper and a pencil, and pray for the following people and the specific units. One of the difficult things to do is to find out an accurate rendering of contemporary or current deployment, unit deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan. But what I've found was this. It would be a good thing for the people of Grace to take it upon themselves to raise an Ebenezer. Just recently, casualty number 1,000 occurred in Afghanistan. One single Marine on his way back home hit an improvised explosive and was killed. He became the 1,000th casualty in Afghanistan. His family looks at Memorial Day tomorrow, no doubt much different than they did a year ago. There is the matter of the 336th MP Battalion out of Pittsburgh that are currently housed in Baghdad. Out of Pittsburgh. They're local people. And I've tried to narrow our focus to that. And then there is the Pennsylvania Air National Guard 2nd Brigade Combat Team, the 28th part of the, and again, the 28th Infantry Division, three things there. Pittsburgh-based. There is the 2nd Brigade Combat Team of the 28th Infantry Division and the Pennsylvania Air National Guard unit. I believe it's the 111th out of Pittsburgh, online at this time. There are these to consider as well. Several years ago, my wife and I became contributors to the Wounded Warrior Project. And specifically, and by the way, I would recommend that to you, but specifically the folks in Ward 57 at the Walter Reed Hospital, the place where they bring the most severely wounded from the war zone there for treatment. And some of those people have had their foxhole prayers answered, and some of them wounded so severely that they're probably having second thoughts about it. You need to pray for them. And then there's the Brooks Medical Center in San Antonio, the burn unit. Pray for the folks who are residing there. There is also these families to consider. These are all local folks. The name of Stefan Booker from Apollo. He died in April of 2003 in Iraq, Baghdad. Stefan Booker from Apollo. There is another name that I'll give you who was a dear friend of my niece, Nicholas Tomko, out of Pittsburgh, was killed in action November 9th of 2003 in Iraq. Nicholas Tomko. William R. Sturgis from Spring Church, killed January 24th, 2004 in Iraq. 24 years of age. From Ford City, there was a 19-year-old fellow, Bradley N. Coleman, died May 30th of 2004 in Iraq. From another local family from Apollo, Joshua Henry, died in 2004 in Tikrit, Iraq. From Ford City, once again, June 3rd of 2008, Joshua E. Waltonbaugh. Joshua Waltonbaugh died age 19 in Taj, Iraq. In another one here, Spring Church, Michael Gerdano, age 23, died August 1st of 2008 in the Chakay Valley in Afghanistan. And then there's this grouping of people. These individuals that I will read to you now, I wouldn't expect you to write them. I can leave them out on the table for you to catch their names if you will take them to heart and to prayer. But these individuals are the casualties from the state of Pennsylvania since last Memorial Day. 19 of them by my count. There is William Vile, 27 years old, from Philadelphia. Chad Emmonson, age 20, died May 27th last year. Robert D. Ulmer from Landisville, died in June 5th, 22 years old. Michael W. Heeb from Delta, 22 years old, died July 13th. Joshua Reimer, age 24, died July 22nd, 2009. From Pittsburgh, Ryan Lane, died July 23rd in Afghanistan. Jonathan M. Walls, 27 years old, from West Lawn, died August 1st. Andrew McConnell from Carlisle, PA, died September 14th in Afghanistan, age 24. From Red Lion, Pennsylvania, Ross Vogel III died September 29th in Iraq. a little closer to home in Blairsville. Glenn H. Stuyvesant died October 15th, Afghanistan. From Lancaster, PA, Brandon M. Styer, Styer, died October 15th, 19 years old. Sergei Kropoff from Hawley, Pennsylvania, died December 20th. Matthew Ingham from Altoona died January 11th in Afghanistan, age 25. And then from a place called Canadensis, wherever that's in Pennsylvania, Michael P. Shannon. He died January 17th at the age of 52. Afghanistan. Michael L. Freeman from Fayetteville died February 1st. Larry Johnson from Scranton, Pennsylvania, died February the 18th. A little closer to home here, Nathan P. Kennedy from Claysville died April 27th, just last month, 24 years old. Austin Gates Benson from Hellertown died May the 3rd. And Richard J. Tiemann from Waynesboro died May 18th at the age of 28. Yes? Yes. Mr. Fair. Brandon Adams. And that goes back to 03. And here's a sample of a foxhole prayer that was answered. In a letter from the Wounded Warrior Project organization, it writes about a young fellow by the name of Claude Bushy. Claude faced a horrible death as his helicopter plummeted 60 feet into a flooded field in Iraq. Water up to his neck and fuel in his mouth, he feared he'd drown and burn to death at the same moment. Thankfully, Claude was rescued in the nick of time, but was severely wounded. His back was broken when his chopper crashed. His leg was shattered. He suffered a terrible infection. At first, the doctors didn't think he'd make it. Even when he pulled through, it took 8 months for him to learn how to walk again. However, Claude not only got back on his feet, but he got back into a helicopter in Iraq. And he said, "I felt I didn't finish the job the first time." The impact of his wounds will follow him through the rest of his life, so he knows how to talk with newly injured troops, how to bring them hope from one wounded warrior to another. So he offers his services as a peer mentor because he wants to do something for other injured veterans. He said a combat veteran understands another combat veteran's emotional and mental state. "I had a lot of close calls, and I appreciate what a soldier goes through." And then he said, "I'm fortunate I made it back because a lot of my friends didn't. I think about them every day." And I would have you to remember this stunning bit of information. I just read someplace or heard it announced that the members of the Old Guard in Washington, D.C., along with 1,300 other soldiers, took 3 hours to place a flag at 300,000 graves in Arlington. 3 hours for 300,000 graves. And that's just a small speck of the overall total of people that will be looking at Memorial Day tomorrow from a different perspective than perhaps you and I look at it. And so I would ask that if you've taken some names and those unit designations, that we spend the remaining part of our time together tonight in prayer for these dear people. And I would ask that that you take to heart long after the evening is over, and whenever God would stir your heart, to pull your list out and remember these names again and their families. While the soldiers are gone forever, their families must deal with that continuously. And I, for the life of me, have no idea how, if ever, you heal a broken heart. I don't know how they would cope with it. But God hears our prayers. He heard the prayers for this young man, and he is not alone in that. But I would also have you remember that while some of the individuals who have survived their wounds and have come back for treatment probably wish they hadn't. So severe are their wounds, and while they get the best treatment that the world has ever seen, and they get it so quickly, some of them are sent home after rehab and therapy with body parts missing. That complicates life for their families for the rest of their days. So there's a saying, not trite by any means, but true, that freedom that we enjoy is not cheap. Many people have paid dearly for the privilege that we have as free people tonight. And I will again encourage you, don't ever, 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 ever let anyone take your freedom from you under the guise of anything. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for the blessed privilege that we have to be citizens of America. We are folks who have been handed a tremendous opportunity from the very beginning, dear Heavenly Father. There was a certain kind of people who first came here. People carrying with them the very Word of God. And though never perfect, yet there was something uniquely different about us, about this nation, that distinguished America from its very beginning, from all of the nations of the world. Time and time again, dear Heavenly Father, our country has sent our own young people to foreign nations to do battle. And, dear Heavenly Father, aside from the incident that occurred 10 years or so ago, no one ever fired around, no foreign entity ever fired around in anger in America until the day that our nation was attacked by the Islamist radicals. But our nation, dear Heavenly Father, has been generous with the blood of its young for freedom everywhere. And we would wish, dear Heavenly Father, to be grateful recipients of the legacy that has been passed to us. The very least we can do is to set aside a day, if not, dear Heavenly Father, days after days after days for prayer, but at least one day to look away from things that in the final analysis have really no eternal consequence. And remember the individuals and their families who gave everything that we should have everything. We are humbled by that. We do not know, dear Heavenly Father, nor do we have an explanation what places in the heart of any individual a love of country to the point where they are willing to die for the nation where they themselves were born and raised and have lived. We note, dear Heavenly Father, the selflessness and the courage and the hardship that these families endure. And while we are glad, dear Heavenly Father, that there is available today extremely speedy treatment from the battlefield to the hospital, yet, dear Heavenly Father, the hospitals in Germany, in America, are filled with casualties. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Americans have been brought here to be repaired, to be rehabbed, and sent home. And some of them today sit in wheelchairs. Some of them walk on artificial limbs, use artificial hands. Some of them are blinded. Some of them, dear Heavenly Father, have returned home and have been medically cleared, even though part of their brain is missing. Unspeakable hardship and suffering. Dear Heavenly Father, as one man would say, and I know that I would speak for this congregation, we are proud to be Americans and grateful to be on the receiving end of the generosity of our countrymen. The least we can do is pray. And so I ask tonight, dear Heavenly Father, that you will, in a very special way, come alongside those individuals who are suffering terribly tonight in great pain, large uncertainties, families having to live away from their homes just to be near their loved ones receiving treatment, going out without oftentimes the basic necessities in this transitional period. May they be on the receiving end of compassion. May they receive all the dignified and expert care that should be afforded to them. And even though, dear Heavenly Father, an individual may be medically repaired, it would be a great and wonderful thing that in the course of all of this, that you would have brought these individuals to a place in their lives where they, realizing that they have no hope on earth, would look to heaven, to the very Creator God, the Redeemer. And that through some words of a faithful messenger, given a unique opportunity to be close to these individuals, that they might hear the gospel and believe. Lord, we know sometimes you bring things to pass, unspeakable tragedy, in order to further deal with the soul of an individual. And our prayers would go out tonight to each of those. We can't even count them. We know that there are many, far many more, who have survived and who have been on the receiving end of the faithful praying of people back home than there have been, dear Heavenly Father, who have given their lives. We just pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might not ever be a people who would forget what has been done for us, and that we might never lose sight of the significance of the necessary sacrifices that must be made, not only by the members of the military, but even, dear Heavenly Father, the average citizen in every little town and village, in every large city and metropolis, There are responsibilities that are ours in a free society. We pray, Lord, that we might be faithful. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the people of grace. Pray your blessing to be upon them as the next day comes. For those, dear Heavenly Father, who will spend it with their family and friends, may they be able to relax and enjoy the day purchased for them by the blood of so many others. We ask, dear Heavenly Father, not that we would live and dwell in the midst of a gloomy pall so much, dear Heavenly Father, as that we might live as people who are free, happy people, blessed people, and yet always mindful of the sacrifices made. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, your blessing upon every single person in this room tonight, upon each member of our church family and our friends who come to visit with us. We ask, dear Heavenly Father, you extend your mercies to each of our sister churches, to pastor and people alike. And may the peace of God prevail there. May the power of your presence be manifest. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Faithful Christians, faithful American citizens, until the day the trumpet sounds. And we are transferred from this tent-like dwelling that we have now into a permanent and more enduring substance in heaven. We give you the praise for all, dear Heavenly Father, that you have allowed for us to experience. To this point in our lives, we wait for Jesus even tonight. And we ask, dear Heavenly Father, with that in mind, that this would be the very last Memorial Day that the church would ever see on earth. May it be so, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.